Welcome to Prog Rock Digital.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Prog Rock Digital. This is episode 7 of season 2. Now today I'm excited to be presenting to you a conversation that I had with Canadian drummer from the band Falsett, Chance Labrie. We chat about the debut album We Follow or Lead the Way, and then about a quarter of the way through we're joined by Chance's dad, James Labrie, from the band Dream Theatre. Enjoy, and we're back just after this quick break.
Open to fire. Paris of Troy out through Ludos Records. Their debut single, Torn Away.
True inside.
Australian prog at its best. Available for download and stream on all digital platforms.
ParisofTroy.com.
My eyes are torn away.
Hello, this is Mick Box of Uriah Heep, and you're listening to Prog Rock Digital.
The man behind some of the most iconic pieces of art connected to some of the biggest names in rock, Ioannis. Originally from Athens, Greece, in the last 36 years has created over 300 record covers for such clients as King Crimson, Fate's Warning, Uriah Heep, Allman Brothers, Blue Oyster Cult, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Yngwie Malmsteen, Deep Purple, Styx, just to name a few. Be sure to connect with Ioannis at www.dangerousage.com.
Coming July 30th, the re-release of Amarin's Plight, Voice in the Light, featuring Gary Werkamp, DC Cooper, and Nick DiVigilio.
One of the greatest progressive conceptual albums of the 2000s is with us once again.
www.amarinsplight.net.
Out through Lone Wolf Music.
Chance Labrie, welcome to Prog Rock Digital. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
An absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on. First and foremost, congratulations on an amazing debut, We Follow or Lead the Way. And to put things into perspective for our listeners, and I guess for those that are maybe unaware, the band is in their early 20s, was founded and formed when you guys were in high school. I would love to know, Chance, what was going on in your head at the time, the dynamics around school and band. How were you able to, if you like, separate your schooling from your aspirations, you know, making sure that they didn't collide and you know, you remain focused on your schoolwork? Or, you know, were you that, that kid that was constantly dreaming about being in a band?
I was that kid in class that was tapping on my desk throughout the whole class. But I remember Mangini's drum tech, Eric Disrud, he told me something one time. He said, rock stars drop out of college, legends drop out of high school. So that's just stuck with me. I didn't drop out, but I remember there was a point in high school where I really stopped caring about education and all my focus went to music. And I mean, it paid off because I don't remember anything from high school and, you know, music is still relevant for me. So worked out great.
So would you say it was your music that got you through high school, or was it high school that gave you that motivation to?
I would say that music was my only focus. It was the only thing I cared about, and high school was like in the way of it.
Mm.
I didn't care much for it at all. But yeah, we all got through it, and I remember being in high school, and we would all talk and be like, I cannot wait to be out of high school and just dedicate 100% of our time to Falsett.
Mm.
And then here we are. That's what we're doing.
Well, let's chat about your debut album, We Follow or Lead the Way. As I said in the intro, great debut release. There are bands out there that would kill to release such a quality album. And there are a lot of bands that try to do this, but just fail. Is there that added pressure from you now to release album number two to be better than or as good as this debut album? You know, does it play on your mind? And, you know, does it add that extra, if you like, pressure to you? Because, again, you know, let's face it, you know, you've recorded an amazing debut.
Yeah, I've definitely thought about that before. But, you know, like, right, as of now, every song we write just seems to get better and better and better as we write songs. So, I mean, if you ask me this question in 10 years, I might answer it completely differently, but as of right now, it's looking up from here. Like every song we write, we're like, that's a banger. That's a banger. That's got radio appeal. That's got some commercial success. You know, like it's definitely not a problem at this point for us. We're young, you know, we've got like 15 songs out there. So right now it's just not a worry at all. No.
So what is the process? How do you go about writing your songs?
So in high school, we used to jam together and write songs together. But then we all have studio setups at our own houses. So the way we work best and fastest and most efficiently is Zach, our singer, who's also a guitarist, he writes the demos and then he sends them over to me. And then I work on the drums and help with the arrangement and whatnot. And then we all come in together and work on it from there. But it all starts from Zach's foundation of the song, his original demo. He's the main composer of Falsett.
An amazing vocalist, which we'll touch on soon. But how long did it take to record the album and where did you record the album?
So we went to my uncle's cottage, actually, and we set everything up there for a few weeks. I don't remember how long it was, but yeah, we recorded everything out there. It was a great time. Great time. We actually recorded a ton of like video footage. We wanted to do like a little behind the scenes or like in the studio with Falsett video, but we never got around to editing that footage. But yeah, we recorded at the cottage. Great time. Great time out there.
So was this the first time for you in a studio? Had you had any experience recording, you know, either Falsett material or other material in a studio setting?
Yeah, so our high school was awesome. We had a recording studio. We had a ton of music classes. We had a ton of school bands and stuff. So we actually got into, you know, learning how to do Logic and recording and all of that in high school. So we started recording drums and guitars and all of that and experiencing all of that in high school at a really young age. So now it's just like second nature for us to quickly throw a song together.
Now you have an amazing vocalist in Zach Copeland. He's got a great set of lungs. He's pulled off this album, you know, amazingly. You probably know where this question's going. Did your dad have any tips or tricks for Zach?
Well, so I don't know if you know this, but Zach actually started off as our guitarist. So it wasn't until our debut album that he became our vocalist. Our first EP was with our previous singer. So now he's our vocalist, but yeah, he started out as a guitarist. Since then, like, he's just naturally talented, great songwriter, great guitarist, self-taught, great vocalist. But from time to time, every time my dad and Zach are together, they're talking vocals and how to like preserve your voice on tour. What are the tips and tricks? Like, how do you get through it? You know, all that stuff. I don't know like specifically what they go over and all the tips and tricks my dad shares with him. But yeah, they definitely exchange some words on vocals all the time.
Yeah, look, Zach's just done a great job on this album. You know, perfect vocals. You know, there are well-established bands out there that would, you know, kill and you know, if you like, would love to replicate and, if you like, come close to this type of quality, you know, vocally, if you like. And I think that is well-formed and presented in one of my favorite tracks on the album, Smoke and Mirrors.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, how did you go about writing that song? When we first spoke, when I first met with you, you'd stated that the song was an old song and essentially one of the first songs that was written by the band. You know, tell us about that, and, you know, is it one of your favorites?
It wasn't the first, but that was like the first, that song was written when we were in high school, and it was like the first song that we're like, yo, this is our sound. This is, we got this, like this, let's go off of this sound. So that was the first song we wrote for the debut album. It was like written so early that it was even like a consideration to go on the EP before the album. So yeah, that was back in the days when we used to like actually jam and write songs in a room together. But yeah, that was the first song where we're like, we have something here. Like, this is our sound.
So speaking of sound, style, and for a better word, direction, where is Falsett directed towards? And, you know, I mean, it is a subjective process and subjective thought.
Well, I hate labeling things, I really do. But I'd say that, you know, I said this before, but every song we write just keeps getting better and better. And we don't like to label it or try to write this kind of song or try to write that kind of song. It all just like flows out naturally, to the point where now I feel like we have our own sound. And if we're doing anything, if we're trying to do anything, it's just like maintain our sound, so we're true to ourselves, you know? But yeah.
Keeping in line with momentum, if you like, and I guess momentum being the operative word, June this year, you released a single titled Kickstart My Heart, and we all know that is the Motley Crue classic. Great rendition, by the way. You kept it firmly rooted and, you know, tied in with the original. Let me ask, why Kickstart My Heart?
Well, great question, actually. So this one, I remember it was about a year ago, I brought it up to my dad and I said, like, what do you think about this? And he's like, totally, let's do it. Because it completely makes sense. So before Dream Theater, my dad was in this band called Shock Candy. And they did, I don't know if they did originals. I think they just did covers and might have done some originals, but they mostly covered Motley Crue. So I was just like, Dad, this would be like perfect. Let's cover like a classic Motley Crue song, Falsett and James LaBrie collab. It'll be great. And then we just started working on it, and people loved it. We got a great response from that. We actually, we heard from my dad's manager that Mick Mars actually heard the song and loved it and thought it was a great cover.
Wow, that's fantastic.
That was crazy to hear.
Yeah. And look, this leads us into our next question, and if you like, a segue into the next part of the show, and that is we have a special guest in the Zoom lobby waiting to enter, and that is Mr. James LaBrie from Dream Theater. Welcome to Prog Rock Digital.
Hey, Nicholas. How you doing? Yeah.
Fantastic. Good to be here. Thanks for coming on, man. James, how does it feel recording a song with Chance? You know, let's face it, Chance came into this world in and around the time Scenes from a Memory was released. And, you know, there aren't too many father-son combos in metal in this day and age. So, you know, is it something that you had imagined and hoped for? Or was it just something that came about in time?
Chance grew up in a house where, you know, he'd when he went to, you know, like you have the kids have their career days with their fathers or their mothers. And Chance's career day was to go out on tour with his dad. And he's done it several times. And so he kind of saw this world that was my reality. And I could tell from the age of like 5 and 6 years old that he was intrigued and he was really captivated by it and enthralled with it and enamored. And so I think, you know, it was natural to see that he wanted to get into music and he wanted to be something within this industry. the amazing thing was, like, you know, I went up to him, I go, okay. And, you know, I just thought, hey, you want to sing? You want to start singing? And Chance was like, I don't want to sing. I want to play drums, you know, which I thought was great because I, you know, I said to him, well, that was my first instrument. I played drums for about 12 years. And so I said, oh, by all means, let's go for it. You know, if you're serious about it, just put, you know, you're all into it 100%. And he did. And the crazy thing was, is that for him to put together a band like Falsette and they all live within 5-10 minutes of each other, that's amazing. Like the fact that he didn't have to go out and go, well, I got to go down to Toronto, Dad, to try and find the musicians. They're right here. And he met them in high school. So to me, it was kind of like I saw how serious he was going to get. And so that was when I started thinking, okay, you know what, maybe he is going to follow in my footsteps and he is going to do something and make a career of this. And I truly believe in the guys. I think, you know, you've said it all yourself, Nicholas. I mean, they're a terrific band, terrific sound, and they have diversity. They're very eclectic for such a young band. And I think their music speaks for itself. I think they have great songs, a great sound. And yes, you're right. Like Zach has a fantastic voice. And so they have all the ingredients and they're all dedicated to their respective instruments. So, you know, I kind of saw it that this is something that Chance was definitely going to dip his feet into quite deeply, I should say. Yeah.
Now, James, just prior to Images and Words, you appeared on the Fates Warning album Parallels with backing vocals. And I guess my question is, how pivotal was that for you in, if you like, building relationships within the industry with mm-hmm. other bands? Did that help the process, especially as you were, you know,
right.
breaking through?
So I was already in Dream Theater at the time. So I'd already become their vocalist. And what happened was Mike Portnoy was good friends with the guys in Fates Warning. And he called me up and he said, hey, Jim Mathaos, he's up in Toronto. They didn't have time to do the background vocals for this one song. They're working with Terry Brown, the famous producer with Rush, doing all those classic albums of Rush. And I said, what? And he goes, yeah, they just want you to come in for the day. And I got to be honest with you, Nicholas, I wanted to do it just to meet Terry Brown, you know? So at that point, it was just like, hey, I get to meet this producer. I grew up loving Rush. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to work with this guy. So it was great. I went to the studio in Toronto and met Jim Mathaos for the first time. And then I was in there maybe an hour. I sang all that he wanted. And got a pick with Terry and Jim, and then I left, and that was it. And then next time I heard the song was when the album was released. So I do think it all adds up. And to answer your question, I think it is extremely important for bands in this industry to have some kind of a web going on and to know of one another and to create something where they can possibly tour or they can, you know, support one another to get the word out. And I think it's integral to the kind of industry, especially what it is today, you know, and all the social media that goes on. And it's a small world. It's still a small world to be in this industry. So I think it's very important that everything is kept positive and everyone supports one another, you know, to get them the attention they deserve.
You and Chance must have some interesting dinner table conversations. You know, what do you guys talk about? I mean, there must be so much to talk about, especially in the space that you guys are working in.
Well, the past year we've been working on my dad's new solo album. So my dad, Paul Logue, and myself, we've been working on the new James LaBrie album. So we've, you know, like throughout the year, it's like so much talk about, you know, we're sitting at the dinner table eating some steaks or whatever, and we're like, what do you think about this verse? And like, what are we doing here for this drum part? And mm-hmm. we're talking music all the time. And even before the album, we always talk about the industry and music and bands and songs we're into and all that. right, Doug?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. No, it's been it's been quite the I guess the evolution, like just seeing how where Chance is going with his music and him as a drummer and him as a writer in Falsett. And I think a lot of it is makes for great conversation. Like he's saying, we're talking about bands, we're talking about music in general, songs, what resonates, what makes sense, and especially working on this last solo album with Chance and Paul Logue. He's a guitar player from Eden's Curse. And so I think it's really kind of connected us. In fact, there's a lot, like Chance will record all my vocals. So we, like he said earlier, we have a studio in the house. And it's so funny because sometimes I'd be in the studio recording my vocals and Chance is recording, he's the engineer. And I'm like, okay, Chance, let's just think about this for a second. I'm sitting here singing these songs and my son's recording me. It's a little surreal. You know, like it really is. It's very surreal because here's a kid. I used to like hold his hand and walk him into the kindergarten class. And now he's recording me and we're working on an album together. It's just at times you got to take a step back.
Yeah, I remember when I was like, I don't know, like 10 and 12 years old, I'd go to Toronto with you to different studios you were recording vocals at and stuff. And I would just watch the engineer do his thing. And I never saw myself in that seat. Like I never thought I was going to be the one pressing record for you.
Right.
Pretty weird.
Yeah.
Pretty weird.
Yeah, I know. It's very crazy. Yeah. It really is. But it's a great experience. And I mean, how many people can say that, you know, you get to work with your son, you get to create music and something that we're very proud of. And, you know, I can't wait to have this album come out. It'll come out next spring, you know, and it's quite the thrill, and I don't take it for granted, you know, to be able to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does it feel being able to record from home now? And I mean, I'm assuming you've been doing this for a while now, but just being able to do it from a spare room, you know, setting up studio equipment and just recording, saving you time, you know, traveling into Montreal or Toronto.
Well, actually, it hasn't been a whole long time, actually. When COVID hit, I said to my dad, I'm like, you see this spare bedroom here? Let's turn it into a studio. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So we actually, we built the studio starting like just over a year ago. And it's been great. Like we were like, why didn't we do this like 5 years ago, right? It's perfect.
Yeah. Well, especially when you have, and I'll have other artists asking me to, you know, sing on one of their songs or do a duet with their vocalist. And it just makes so much more sense. It used to be I'd get in the car and I'd drive for 40 minutes to go to the studio and record these tracks for other vocalists or for other bands, I mean. And now I can just walk downstairs when I'm singing a solo tune, or, you know, when Dream Theater, when we did that Christmas song this past year, you know, I just walked down and Chance recorded my vocals and boom, boom. It's very convenient. It really is, because you just walk down in your basement, you do your recording session, you go back upstairs, maybe grab a beer and go sit out in the backyard. You know, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
So James, just touching back on the, on Kickstart My Heart, obviously, you know, you worked on the track with Chance and Falsett. You were in Shock Candy a while back. Shock Candy obviously came prior to Winter Rose.
Yes. Yeah? Yes, it was. Yeah. So I was in Shock Candy maybe a year. Then I left and I did some studio work with this other guy. His name was Mike Stitt. And then I did another band that I put together. They were called Positive Touch, and it was a Journey tribute. So I was doing that, and what happened is we recorded an original song, and it was called, I wrote this song called Crying Heart, if you can believe it. But it was basically about somebody just, you know, having a real hard time with life and not being able to find that connection to others. So I sang this tune, and then Rich Chickie, who was the guitar player with Winter Rose, sold a TV to the bass player that was in my band. And my bass player played that song. And Rich said, hey, who the hell is this guy singing? Boom, Rich and I put together Winter Rose. And then Winter Rose eventually was heard by Dream Theater. And that's how I went into Dream Theater.
And the rest is history.
I'm doing a real short version for you. There were many other steps that went on in between that. But, I'm going to be taking up way too much time to talk about that.
Well, what a conversation. I've got both James and Chance here. You know, I can't ask for anything better. You know, we're talking about family. We're talking about, you know, historical references that have led to where we are today for both James and Chance. I can sense the admiration, the respect that you have for one another as father and son.
It's priceless.
It's heavenly.
Yeah, it's been a great experience overall. Like, mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's surreal, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So would we ever see a, Falsett Dream Theater tour in future?
Yeah. It's actually November 3rd. We kick it off in Australia. Dream Theater and Falsett.
Yeah, great.
I wish.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I wish too. Well, you know what? The thing is, Nicholas, is that that's always a possibility that, you know, at some point, maybe Falsett would come out and do, do a leg with Dream Theater and, and be able to get them out there. I think at this point, it's a matter of Falsett getting to where they're going to be comfortable and they're going to start touring. And when they start doing that, then that door would always be available at some point if it made, logistical sense for them and for us to have them out opening up for.
I think too, Nicholas, we should get a few tours under our belt before we even consider doing a tour of that size. You know, we'd want to feel comfortable if we're opening for Dream Theater, but we're actually in the works right now, getting a US agency so we can start booking some tours, Falsett tours throughout the US. So we're looking forward to that, probably in early 2022.
So obviously COVID's put the brakes on a lot of projects and recordings and so forth. How restrictive are things in Canada currently? And, are you sensing some sort of normality coming back?
Well, things are opening up now, finally. Things are going good here. But yeah, it was a lot of bullshit the past years, like lockdown, open up, lockdown, open up, lockdown, open up. Businesses are closing left, right, and center. But we've been blessed because, even though we can't tour and play music, we can still work on music and create music. So we've been good. We've been blessed.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting you asked that question, Nicholas, because today in where we live in Ontario, the province of Ontario, they just opened up where people can actually dine indoors again in the restaurants.
So we're going to go get drunk after this at a restaurant.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Yeah. There's a dad for you. Yeah. I'm going to take my son out and get him drunk. Yeah.
Every Friday.
But no, it's getting better. It's getting better for sure. Like everything's starting to open up. I mean, Dream Theater, we're thinking about going out on tour very soon. So there should be an announcement, within a couple of weeks. So things are really starting. You can see that we're definitely making that transformation for sure.
So James, are we talking a 3 to 6 month proposition in terms of, back on the road?
Before we be touring?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's going to be before that, Nicholas. I think we might be out by the end of October and we're going to do a North American tour.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think, it's already in the works. Let's just put it that way. But we're supposed to start out at the end of October.
How is
go throughout the States and Canada?
How is it in Australia, by the way, with COVID?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I reside in Melbourne, Victoria, and we've just hit our fifth lockdown. So we're calling this 5.0 You know, things are up and down here in Australia, but unfortunately we're in a fairly bad time at the moment.
Is it due to the Delta variant? Is that why?
Yeah, well, that is a main factor of our
lockdown. And
our
how long is the lockdown, Nicholas?
Yeah, so they did say 5 days. We suspect it's going to be a couple of weeks. So, you know, it's just bad, wow. bad for everyone. You know, having to go through it a fifth time is, you know, psychologically a hurdle that we have to face, you know. So
that's horrible.
You know, as it is for everyone, man. So we'll just get through it and push as absolutely. Best we can. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Chance, what are the plans for Folset? Are you guys gonna hit the road sooner rather than later?
Well, we're busy working on our second album right now, so we probably won't tour until it's in support of that new album, which we want to get it out in early 22. So I think probably early 22 we'll start touring as well.
Chance, if I can just touch on your website, and it's quite striking. And the reason for that is it's not a stock standard, you know, band or heavy metal website. You know, you're marketing apparel, and it's almost like a lifestyle website. How did you come about that? And why?
Well, I appreciate you noticing that, dude. I actually spent a lot of time designing that website myself. And I said to the guys, I'm like, yo, like everyone knows how hard it is to make a living in this industry, especially when you're a smaller band like Falset. So I said, guys, like, let's get a merch site up and start to monetize that, you know? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, but I want it to be something that it doesn't look like your typical band merch. It's just nice clothing. It looks like a clothing brand. You can wear it out anywhere and you'd think it's a clothing brand, right? I didn't want to do the typical band merch. I'm not really into that stuff. Like my favorite bands, sure, I'll pick up their merch, but I wanted something that was different and could be worn anywhere and just promote the band just by looking cool and people wearing it. But I appreciate you noticing that, dude. Thank you.
No, man, look, kudos to you because not only, you know, are you just, you know, pushing your product or promoting your product, you know, it seems as if you have an enterprise mind, you know, sort of approach to things, if you like.
I've always been a really business kind of mindset. Like if I didn't get into music, I'd be doing something in business. I'm an entrepreneur at heart, you know? Yeah.
Now, James, are you still there? I think you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just being respectful and sitting back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Look, I'm just going to ask you about some of the solo stuff that you've done. Obviously, case in point being Mal Muzzler. You've mm-hmm. obviously worked with Mike Mangini prior to him joining Dream Theater.
Yeah.
How was it working with him,
Matt?
And how did you come about, Mike?
Yeah. Actually, I met Mike Mangini when he was out with Extreme. We were doing a festival over in Europe. And I saw him play drums for Extreme, and I was like, who the hell is this guy? Like, I remember hearing about him when he was back and he had been touring with Steve Vai, but I'd never actually seen him live. Mm. And when I saw him that night with Extreme, he came and he watched our show, Dream Theater show, because we went on after them. And we just started talking, and I said, you know what? We need to do something. If I ever do a solo album, I said, I want you to drum. He said, absolutely, man, I'm there. Just give me a call and boom. And that's how it came about. That's how he started playing on the first two Mal Muzzler albums and then Elements of Persuasion as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it was very cool.
Isn't it interesting how things happen and, you know, things happen for a reason? You know, Chance obviously would have been in awe of Mike Portnoy.
Mm-hmm.
And now, obviously, Mike Mangini. And for you to have worked with him prior to Dream Theater and things rolling the way they've rolled, you know, the last 10, 12 years, I guess is testament to the fact that things don't just roll and happen.
Right.
You know, they happen because of something, because of an idea or a thought.
Absolutely. You know, I always think you can never think that any meeting with someone or anything that you do, especially in the music industry, is trivial. It's not, because it can lead to something that, you know, is beautiful. It's big. Something that can lead to great success.
Yeah.
And who would have known, you know, like if you talk about Mike Mangini, that because I had worked with him and he had played on my solo albums, when we were auditioning new drummers, the first thing that came on the list was Mike Mangini. I said, this guy's got to audition for this. And then, you know, with Chance, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he grew up listening to Mike Portnoy, and then he went from Mike Portnoy listening to, you know, Mike Mangini. And then, but you know, Chance also has his peers, drummers of his own generation, so to speak, or demographic, that he's extremely influenced by as well. So he's had such a great fundamental building of, you know, being a drummer himself because of what he's been exposed to, for sure.
Now, Chance, I should have asked you this earlier, but what are some of your favorite bands and bands that have influenced you other than Dream Theater?
That's a tough question. As far as like bands I'm into, I hate listing them because I always leave some out, you know. But I love Northlane. They're from Australia. I love Architects. I love Bring Me the Horizon. And yeah, I know I'm gonna leave a ton out, but there's three right there that I love.
And Chance, you've just touched on Northlane. I think they may have opened for Evergrey. James, you've worked on the most recent Evergrey album. How was it working with Tom and the band?
Well, okay, so interestingly enough, in 2005, when I did my solo tour over in Europe, I brought out Evergrey. And they were opening up for me every night. So I got to know the guys really well. I loved the band. Back then, I thought, wow, these guys are really cool. Very, very cool guys, great musicians, wild animal freaking partiers too at the time. And, but you know, it just, we kind of stayed in touch, Tom and myself. And over the years, you know, we'd pop into them or bump into them if we were doing the big festivals, and they would be somewhere playing that day during the festival. And he'd always come over and we'd hang and we'd chat, and I'd chat with him and the rest of the guys in the band. So it just so happened, Tom just emailed me one day and he goes, hey, James, you know, we're working on a new album. We have this song and we think it would be absolutely amazing if you could sing it with me. And I love Tom's voice. I think he's got a beautiful voice, such a great sound to his voice. And he's very talented. But I, you know, right away I said, hey, can I always say this, if any artist wants me to sing on one of their songs, I like, I need to hear the song, and then I'll definitely let you know. And I heard the song, and right away I was just like, yeah, this is beautiful. It's a great tune. And I said, for sure, I'll do it. Let's do it. And actually Chance recorded me on that song too, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, they're just a great band, and I really like their last album. I was just talking to Tom the other day about it, and I was just thinking, oh my God, you know, guys, it's such a great album. And so, yeah, they're pretty stoked, and they're hoping that they can get out at some point, because, you know, that's the frustration with bands right now, is you have them releasing an album and then you can't do anything further than that, than what you can promote online. And it's a very, you know, it's quite the paradox, but I think, you know, they will be able to get out soon. I'm hoping, you know, that they can start something in Europe in the new year.
Yeah.
Because Europe's still dealing with some of the same stuff that you guys are dealing with in Australia as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
On a final note from the both of you, if I may, and I'll continue my query or question, if you like, with James. Mm. What final words of wisdom do you have for us, James, in this interesting, or in these interesting times that we live, and then obviously over to you, Chance.
Yeah, by a pirate. Whoever thought that a pirate was wise with words? But I will say this, you know, Nicholas, I would hope that we've learned really, how important it is for us to be connected, because there's been so much isolation. And I think we took it for granted that we would be able to be together or do whatever we like and love to do whenever we want. And having that being taken away for the last 18 months, I think it's really kind of shed a whole new light on what's important in life. And don't take anything for granted, you know, and don't take friendship or relationships or what it is that you do for a living for granted. And I would hope that the world will become a better place because of this, but I don't know, you know, like human nature, there's also that, you know, that other side of us where we can forget things so quickly and move on and get right back into the same groove we were in before. But I can't see that. I think this has transformed us slightly and has put a whole new perspective on things. That's what I think.
Well, all I gotta say is to anyone out there listening, we here at Falsett work really hard on all this stuff. We literally put all of our time and all of our energy into everything we create. So please, give us a listen and follow us on Spotify and all that.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, guys. Greatly appreciated. Chance LaBrie, best of luck with the album. Amazing album. And, you know, I can only see bigger and better things happening for the band in future. You guys are great. James LaBrie, thank you also for joining us on this podcast episode. Hopefully we can chat soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Nicholas.
Thanks, Nicholas, for sure. Absolutely.